Well, good afternoon. Here it is, Friday, 1:15, and time for Thankful Friday. As we get ready to start, I ask that you'd pray for the Van Dam family. You remember, they were members here for about a year, mostly during the COVID thing. They moved on down to Springfield, and then Brother Chad had an aneurysm on Sunday and passed away on Wednesday. And so if you would pray for them. I know they would appreciate your prayers and lift them up before the Lord. Also, this is holiday weekend. Some of us look at it as an extra day off, but it should give us time to pause, to be mindful. It's Memorial Day, and I know a lot of people go out and they decorate the graves of their loved ones who have passed on. And, that's all good and proper. But it's really about the fallen soldiers. It's about those who gave their all for our country, that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy. And so I just encourage you to remember that this weekend, to be thankful for those who died for our freedoms. And then just to pray for those that serve today, that God would keep them safe, keep them from harm, and use them for his glory. So today we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So the first thing we noticed here is it's written to the saved. It starts off in verse number 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." And it's talking about receiving him into our heart, asking him to be our Lord and Savior, so that heaven might be our eternal home. And when we ask him into our heart, notice that the reference here is "as ye have." So it's a past action. So this is written to those who are already saved, those who have already asked Jesus Christ into their heart. That is who this is written for. And, I'm so thankful for the difference that Christ made in my life. I look around and, I see people that I grew up with. I see their lives and where they're at. It's really sad. I graduated in 1977. Already half of my class is, if I would have graduated in public school, already half of that class has died. It's just really sad how quickly time goes. Time is but a vapor. It goes quick. And if you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do it now. And I'm so thankful I can look back to a time when I asked Jesus Christ to save me and to become my Savior, and to know that heaven is my eternal home. And when Christ steps in, everything changes. Nothing's the same. I'm thankful that he put my feet on the solid rock. He picked me out of the miry clay, and he set me aside. And I'm so thankful that I've been able all these years to live for him and to serve him. The second thing we see from this portion of scripture in verse number 6 is "so walk ye in him." And so I entitled it "The Walk." So walk ye in him. So if you've received him, you ought to walk in him. Paul's edifying the church. He's edifying the those at Colossae. He's encouraging them, look, if you're saved, you need to walk in him. He died for you that you might have heaven as your eternal home. The least that you can do is live for him, to walk in him. And really the benefit of walking in Christ far outweighs living in the world. And I'm so saddened by the fact that most Christians choose to continue to live in the world, and they don't seek to walk in Christ. That's where our freedom is. That's where we're free from the bondage of sin, is in Jesus Christ. And we ought to walk in him, because walking in him provides such freedom and such peace that it ought to be done in every Christian's life. And it says, "As you've received, so walk." So it's kind of the outcome-based reward, Because you've received Jesus Christ, now you get to walk in him. I'm afraid sometimes people look at that as, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I've received Jesus Christ, but now people expect for me to live for him. You know, it's actually a great honor to get to live for the Lord. It's actually a great honor to get to tell others about Jesus, to tell the lost about him, to be able to come alongside and pray with fellow Christians, to get to study the Word of God, to get to know him in a greater way. Notice that word walk there is one of the things that stood out to me. Is it's an action word. It doesn't say lay around the house. It doesn't say, just go to the beach and hang out. No, what he said is when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to walk in him. So as we walk through this life, as we live each day, our walk ought to be with Jesus and not with the world. Our walk ought to be to bring honor and glory to him. And as a child of God, that's the only place you're going to find true happiness is by walking in the Lord. It's a daily thing. Daily, we ought to walk in him. Daily, we ought to seek to serve him. The sad part is that many Christians, many children of God, are quite content just to continue to serve the world. I'm reminded of one of the older ladies of our church years ago was visiting with me, and she talked about the fact that her husband, she had prayed for him like 30 years until he finally accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And his statement to his wife was this: as I lived for the world, as I lived to bring honor to Satan, so I'm going to double my efforts to live for my Savior. And I guess he just became quite the Christian. He told others about Jesus. He was faithful to church. He read his Bible. He spent all that time. He wanted to double his emphasis. He had lived for the world long enough. He had lived for Satan long enough. And he doubled his emphasis to bring honor and glory to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So many Christians never grow in their walk with the Lord because they choose not to walk in him. And to be quite honest, I don't understand how people make it in this world. You know, as pastor, I've sat with a lot of people in a lot of waiting rooms to have surgery done, and I've witnessed people there without the hope of Christ, and I've seen their anxiety, and I've seen their anxiousness and their worry. They have no hope, and we as Christians, the more that we walk with the Lord, the less fear that we have about this world in which we live. The more that we walk with the Lord, the more that this world loses its control in our life, and the more worry and fear is gone. Matter of fact, the fruit of the Spirit is talked about there in Galatians 5. And for the child of God who's walking in the Spirit, you're walking in Christ, you're walking after him, you find that the fruit of the Spirit will begin to fill your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These fruits become very evident in our life as we seek to walk with him. And so I challenge you, listen, don't serve the world. Don't live for the world anymore. Give that up and walk after Jesus Christ. He's the one that brings true eternal happiness. The third thing that we find is, how do you walk? How are we supposed to walk? Well, verse 7 kind of sums that all up. And we're going to look at verse number 7 to answer this question. How do we walk in him? Well, the first thing is to be rooted. Rooted. I've got trees in my front yard, and I had actually another tree at one time. A big storm came through and it blew it over. And as I went to look at it, I realized there was not much of a root system there. It had very few roots that went out very far. I was walking here in front of the church a couple of weeks ago, and I noticed a couple of the trees over here on the east side to the front of the building. And some of those trees that are actually over in the yard of, we would say, where Brother Chuck lives, they actually have roots that you can see. They've kind of reached to the top of the surface and they go back under. They've reached clear up into the churchyard. I mean, some of those have to be probably 20 feet long. It's just kind of an amazing thing to see those roots. But that's a tree that's going to stand in the midst of the storm. And we as Christians, we walk in the Lord. a part of the reason that we walk in Him is so that we can be rooted, so that when the troubles of life come along, we stand. We take the blows that this world has to offer. We take all that would come our way to test our Christianity, to test our walk with Christ. And in the midst of all that storm, in the midst of all that would come into our life, we stand. And the reason we stand is not because we're good people, not because of who we are or our position in life. The reason is that we stand is because we're rooted in Him. We have those deep roots that seek the Lord to be more like Him. You say, well, how would I become more rooted? Well, it's the same way for these processes that we're going to talk about. But basically, you need to be in the Word of God. Listen, you're not going to know anything about God without being in the Word of God. And if you're waiting till you come to church to get all that you need about God, then you're not even going to begin to scratch the surface. I try to spend time in my Bible every morning, three or four chapters a day. I've done that for a number of years, reading or listening to the Word of God, and I allow it in, and it's amazing how many times I'll go, man, I forgot about that. You know, you get busy in life, and if you don't have that still trap memory, you tend to forget what you might find in the Bible. And so a number of times I'll be reading through the Bible and I'll go, wow, this is so important. I miss that. I'm glad this has refreshed my soul. It's encouraged me in my walk with God. And so we need to be in the Word of God. And then we need to pray. We need to let our requests be made known unto God, that we might walk with Him and serve Him as we should. And so we read the Word of God, we pray. I think it's important that we meditate upon the Word of God, that we allow the Word of God to just kind of soak into our soul and to be a part of our life, and then to serve Him as we're rooted in Him. Of course, we're talking spiritual roots. And without spiritual roots, the Christian will die up. Will dry out, and the church isn't as exciting. The world and its activities begin to drag us away. People begin to feel like they're not being fed. The second thing we find in verse number 7 is to be built up in Him. To build, you need a good foundation. And you know, Jesus is the great foundation. He's the foundation that we need for spiritual growth. Our Bible must be a vital part of our life and our living. And as we grow, we need to be built up in Jesus Christ. And then he says to establish in the faith. You know, we've been preaching this year about being established and the importance of being established. And here it is in Colossians. It's talking about being established in the faith. And as we think about being established in our faith, we think about that we need to be establishing ourselves. You know, I want to establish myself. I want to become established in the Word of God. I want to establish my spouse. I want to establish my home. These things are very important to me to be established. I want to be an influence on my friends to help establish them when it comes to the things of God. And so we need to be established in the faith. That kind of reminds me, you know, sometimes be on the airplane, you're flying, and, you know, of course they want to do all that precursor stuff. And I remember the first couple of times that I flew, I'd sit there all enthralled and listen to it all. Now it's kind of like, yeah, I've heard this a million times. But I always try to remember that it could be that there's someone on there, it's their first time. But part of the rigmarole they go through is, if they lose cabin pressure, then this mask is going to fall down, and they want you to take it, they want you to jerk it, they want you to put it around your face, and they always say, do yourself first, and then help others. And I think that we realize that when it comes to being established in the faith, we've got to do us first. I can't help my family, I can't help my spouse, I can't help my children, I can't help anyone if I don't establish myself, and if I don't become built upon the Word of God. So rooted, built, and established. These are all important. These are all basically the same thing, that we need to allow the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to live in our life, to fill us, to use us for His honor and glory, that we might walk in Him in this world in which we live. And so as we think about these things, it's interesting to note how the verse ends in verse number 7. Abounding there in thanksgiving. You know, as I live this life, it's becoming shorter every year, yours is too. We are to be abounding with thanksgiving. You know, the closer I get to the Lord, the more thankful I am for all that he's done for me. The more that I read his word, the more thankful I am that someone gave their life. People gave their lives that we might be able to hold our Bible in our hand. I'm so thankful that they did. And it would be a disservice for me not to take time to read the Bible, realizing the hundreds of thousands of men and women that were burned at the stake, that I might enjoy the freedom of having a Bible. And how many nations around this world today would the people, the Christians, would love to have a Bible, and yet they're outlawed. And so they sneak around and they've got little portions of scripture that they've hand copied. And, you know, we here in America, we've got such great freedom. You know, I've got a shelf full of Bibles, and I've still got new Bibles I haven't even started in yet, but I bought them in anticipation of wearing my other Bibles out. And so we need to be thankful. We ought to abound in thanksgiving. God, thank you that I live in America. Thank you that I can be rooted in you. Thank you that I can be established in you. Thank you that I can be built up in you. Thank you that I get to walk with you, that you want a fellowship with me, that you want that relationship. God, I'm just so thankful for that. And so we ought to live our life abounding with thanksgiving. You know, one of the biggest heartaches to me is when I meet a Christian and they're down in the dumps. You know, that they've got a hung down face, they're not happy, there's no joy, everything's a you know, we'd use the term a Debbie Downer. There's no reason for that in a Christian life. As we walk with him, as we're rooted in him, as we're built up in him, as we're established in him, we can be abounding with thanksgiving in every area of our life. So Thankful Friday, we can be thankful for, hey, I get to live in America. I get to walk with God. I get to be rooted in him, built up in him, established in him. And I'm going to be thankful for everything that he has done for me. I want you to know I love you. Thankful for spending this time with me. I pray that you'll have a good, safe holiday. Remember that freedom isn't free, that there was a great price paid that we might enjoy these freedoms as America. And it behooves us to stop and to acknowledge that. And so we can be very thankful today. Well, God bless you, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.